A very, very good morning to you. Welcome to Little Swatara. We want to highlight the flowers on the altar this morning are in celebration of a 92nd birthday today for a very special sister-in-law, Violet France. And that comes from Ruth Keeney. And she's inviting us, if you'd be willing, to send cards to her. She would greatly appreciate that. And that's Violet France. Information is in your bulletin for her. And we just are excited to be able to celebrate birthdays among us. And happy birthday to everyone who had a birthday this week or coming up this week. We want to highlight the... Oh, what do we want to highlight? I don't really have anything to highlight. Hey, have any other announcements? Yes. Four o'clock in the morning next Sunday. And we'll be anointing them a little later in the service, but 4 o'clock in the morning next Sunday. Our prayers go with them. Any other announcements this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we are so overwhelmed, so thankful to be in this place as brothers and sisters. We're here prepared. We're ready to worship you. And so, Father, we pray any distraction you would remove from our lives in this moment, and that we would realize that this is our time to come and to specifically worship you in this corporate place. And we just thank you that you are a God that hears our singing and loves our singing and enjoys our singing. And so we praise you this morning for who you are and what you have done in our lives and are going to do. And it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, please rise number 6 here in this place. invite you at this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. It is certainly a joy to have members of the South Carolina mission team here this morning. Gary is at the Lancaster Church of the Brethren, but he's part of the team as well. And anyone else that's missing this morning that you're aware of, Bud? Oh, he's not going, but he's helped organize it. Okay.
Very Ken Coots here this morning. Ken's not here this morning, but Ken Coots is going along on the mission trip too.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to just raise up to keep the family of Dorothy Renninger in our prayers because Dorothy passed away yesterday. Services are going to be being decided upon this afternoon. So just, I'm sure we'll put something on the email site and things with regards to when those services are, but keep Gene Smith and the family in your prayers.
Yes, thank you.
My Uncle Chester Lookinbill passed away this week suddenly, and I would like to keep his family, Gene Lookinbill and the family, in prayer.
I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago about my brother Leonard. The leukemia had returned yesterday. We got a message that he's back in the hospital, and the family, I guess, can get in to see him, but no visitors because of the situation that he's in. So keep him in your prayers, please.
Yes. I would like to invite any members of the South Carolina mission team to come forward at this time, and we'll have you face the congregation. And then if there's any deacons that are here this morning that would be willing to come from behind them and lay hands on their shoulders, we would greatly appreciate that. And as a congregation, as we're anointing and praying over them, we'll just invite you, if you're willing, to outstretch your arms in agreement of prayer as we anoint them and bless them as they face this project ahead of them, doing good and serving others and loving Jesus and loving others well is what this is all about. So we'll ask just a simple question. Do you believe Jesus is Lord of your lives? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again?
Yes.
And do you believe Jesus has a purpose for this team as you head to South Carolina?
Yes.
In agreement, they all have said yes, and we'll be anointing this team. And again, we just invite you to outstretch your hands towards them, and we continue to ask you to pray for them. Sunday morning, starting at 4 a.m., even now up until that day, that God would use them to what he has specifically for each of them. So we'll just anoint each of them and have a prayer thereafter. Anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I anoint you, Michael, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Patty, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dennis, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bud, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Diane, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pam, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this team. Father, we believe a long time ago you have called them to this very specific purpose. And we know, Father, that you are going to use them in powerful ways as they rebuild, as they restore homes, as they interact with people in that community in South Carolina. We pray that you would give them traveling mercies. We pray, Father, that you would give them rest. You would give them patience. You would give them the skills that they need to be able to do what you have called them to do. And as a congregation, in agreement, we anoint them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, knowing you have a perfect plan for this team. And we pray, that you would use them, Father, in powerful ways, that you would enable the good news to go forth by their service and by their words and their encouraging acts. And we pray there would be unity within the team, that they would work well together. And we just pray as the week goes on, you would give them divine strength as their energy wanes, that you would help them to be rebuilt, to renew and mount up with wings as eagles. And we just thank you for their willingness, their obedience to your call to serve on this mission team. Bless them, Father, and go with them as we know you will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord bless each of you.
Please join in singing hymn number 416.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you're an all-knowing God. We believe, Father, you too are the master physician, and we particularly this morning want to lift up Leonard to you, and Father, you know what he is facing in this very hour. And we're asking, Father, for your miraculous healing touch to be upon Leonard, and that you would bring wholeness to his body. You would give him strength, you would give him encouragement, you would give him all that he needs in this moment. And we just thank you for his family. Bless them, give them comfort. As they watch and they wait and they know that you are on the move. We think of those losing loved ones recently and lift up Patty and we lift up the Dorothy Renninger family and just pray your abundant blessings upon them. For we know the death of a saint is pleasing in your eyes. For we know that their place is in eternity, face to face with you now. So we praise you for each of our individual salvations, knowing the pain, the suffering, all we go through in this life is indeed temporary. And how we look forward to that day when there will be no more pain and no more suffering, no more tears. For you will wipe away every single one of them. So thank you, God, for knowing our lives, knowing what's ahead and what's in store for each of us. And we just, Lord, want to get out of the way. We want to be obedient to serve you and to know you more, and to surrender and to let your plan unfold. We do thank you for those who answered the call to the South Carolina mission team. And again, we pray that you would be with them as they serve. Be with every global mission, every mission happening in this moment that are about to happen. And just let those missions be about your good news, spreading it through the work that they do, through the words that they say. And we know, Father, that you will be blessed and you will bring a great harvest. So, Lord, let your will unfold. We think of our shut-ins and the elderly not able to be with us this morning. And we just pray your abundant blessings over them. Father, they long to be here, but Father, it's physically not possible or just not able because of their health to be here. And just ask, Father, you would just allow your presence to be known to each of them and that we love each of them very much and are thinking of them in this moment. We think, Father, of our individual lives and we know that sin often creeps in. And we want to take this moment and pause before you and be in your presence and ask for your forgiveness. And we also, Father, want to lift up any prayers upon our hearts. So thank you for hearing our prayers. Father, we just thank you. We praise you this morning for your obedience to go to the cross that our sins would be forgiven. And we thank you, Father, that that tomb is empty. We thank you that you have risen. And we thank you for the knowledge that we have of our eternal life. And we pray, Father, we confess that often in our weakness, we don't feel all that strong. But with you in our lives, we know that we can be very strong in our weakness. So we pray, Father, that you would just gather us together. You would encourage each of us and you would uplift us and you would hold us in your loving arms and you would carry us through this life at those times where we just don't feel we have the strength. So, Father, we just surrender to you in this hour. We know that you have a plan during this service that you will speak individually to each of us through the songs we sing, through the words that we hear in the message. And we just pray, Father, your will above all things would be done. Bless everyone gathered here, everyone not able to be here with us this morning. And just may your love go forth. And we just praise you, Father, for allowing us to know you and to have a relationship with you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Indeed, this morning we know that the breath of God is breathing on us, and he breathes on our finances, and he knows where our funds get directed. And if we just think back, the last three things we purchased, and I think of gas, I think of food, and I think of the electric bill we just paid. Those are all things of this world that we need. But we consider the finances given to the church and the way in which they are used to uphold what's being done here. We are so thankful for each giver, and we pray God's blessing upon you as you cheerfully give this morning, knowing it's used for his glory. Father, we just thank you for these offerings. We know, Father, they will be used for your glory. We thank you that we can be good stewards of all that you have given us with. And we pray that in the abundance that you have blessed us with, we would bless others as we, as your church, have blessed this church with the funds available to give to you. And we thank you for each giver. Bless them, Father, and allow us to continually throughout our lives be a blessing to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus. Give it up for the kids this morning. Great job. Wow, that was awesome. We'd like to invite any other children to come up this morning for our children's moment. So have you guys ever seen a stained glass window? Mm-hmm. A stained glass window. Where might you see a stained glass window?
On a bus.
Okay. Where else might we see a stained glass window? Okay.
There. On that window?
On a window in a church, perhaps we'll see a stained glass window. Well, if you guys can turn your heads around and look behind you, there is a stained glass windows. Would you believe that a stained glass window can tell the story of Jesus' life? Would you believe that? You think we can do that this morning?
No.
What is cool? No? Well, let's try. What's cool about a stained glass window? Does it look cool if it's dark outside?
No.
When does a stained glass window look the coolest?
When it's light and the sun's shining through it.
Very good. Is that what you were going to say too?
Yeah.
Really, really bright. So what light are we called to share in the world? The light of who? Mm-hmm. The light of
God.
The light of God, the light of Jesus. So we can tell the story of Jesus through stained glass windows. So do you know that stained glass windows are made up of many small pieces of colored glass that fit together to form the picture? Do we have anyone in our congregation that works with glass? Anyone work with glass in the congregation? So working with glass can be difficult. It can actually be dangerous. Why might it be dangerous working with glass?
It's very sharp.
It's very sharp, and we wouldn't want to cut ourselves with glass, would we?
Especially when it breaks.
Right, and when you're cutting something, what else, like if you're using a chainsaw, Bryson, what else might you want to wear to protect something you see with? You might want to wear safety glasses, right? So when you're working with glass, you want to wear glasses. And there's special tools. You might want to wear gloves. Yeah, there's glass cutters, there's grinders, there's even pliers that they use. So these small pieces of glass have to be cut to the exact size. Yeah, what do you think? Particles from the glass could get in your lungs. You're right. So you could even wear a mask. Well, do you think the glass always breaks the way it should break? When you're breaking glass, when you're trying to cut it, sometimes the glass breaks in the wrong place. So what could happen if it breaks in the wrong place? What could happen?
It could shatter.
It could shatter, and that's how you could cut your hands. So the Bible teaches us that following Jesus can be a difficult thing to do. In our scripture this morning, Mark 8:34, and you guys are going to say this with me, okay? So when I say the first couple words, you guys say those with me, okay? Whoever wants to come after me. Can you guys say that? Whoever wants to come after me. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. And take up his cross. Take up his cross. And follow me. Follow me. So Jesus is saying that to follow him is a lot like carrying this huge, heavy cross. Even though you choose to follow Jesus, there may be times when what happens? Is it always going to be easy? What could happen, LaShane? It can become what? It can become difficult. It can be hard, right? Because you have to make right choices. You have to do the right thing. Are there times we get discouraged? Yeah, we might get discouraged. Do others make fun of us sometimes for being followers of Jesus? Others might make fun of us. And there comes a point you might be like, you know what? This is just so hard to do. But you know what my encouragement for each of you is this morning? It's totally worth our effort. Do you agree with that? It's totally worth our effort to follow Jesus. So in the same way, that stained glass window, look how beautiful that one is. Wow. In the same way, stained glass window is beautiful and inspiring, so too your life can be beautiful and inspiring to others when you show them God's love. So just as light comes gleaming through a stained glass, God's light comes from within you, shining out for all these other people and those that you see in your world today to see. Is that awesome or what? Yeah, let's pray to God for help in doing that. Father, we just ask you to guide these children. Father, you know what they deal with on a daily basis. You know their struggles, their challenges. You know the words others say. But Father, we thank you for the words that you say to us, that you love us and you care for us. And we want to show that love to others. So thank you, Father, for going to the cross, for allowing our sins to be forgiven, for not allowing the tomb to be the final resting place, but that you rose from the dead and that you're in heaven right now. And that's a place we look forward to. But Lord, we just pray now that we would shine our lights just like those stained glass. May we be a beautiful image to others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to the time of the service where we remove all distractions and we want to focus solely on your word and what you would have in store for us. So Father, now at this moment, we just turn our hearts, we turn our minds to you, and we pray that you would speak to us as we know you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 8, and we'll be beginning in verse 31. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Jesus begins to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." So let's pause right here for a moment and consider what Jesus meant when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't know about you, but this seems rather harsh. It seems a bit out of character for Jesus. It's not like he's just talking to anybody. This is Peter, one of his most devout disciples. So let's rewind. Why does Peter rebuke Jesus in the first place? And we can easily turn the tables here. Why do we say what we say when things don't align with our thinking? When we read between the lines and draw conclusions that aren't even there? Or we simply make an assumption about a situation we don't really know all that about? Could what happened to Peter happen to us? Here's what I mean. Without even knowing it, Peter was Satan's voice. He was speaking what Satan would have spoken. Now, don't be confused. He wasn't possessed. He was thinking in terms of the world, not the divine. And this may very well be why. Jesus just revealed to his disciples for the first time the plan. He was to go to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and to be raised to life. Friends, this didn't meet their expectations. It's like going to a Warriors game and Stephen Curry never makes a three-pointer. So Jesus goes on to explain he's not establishing an earthly messianic kingdom at that time. It is a complete shocker. The man jumps from behind the curtain. The disciples were not prepared for this new revelation of the Messiah's purpose. Now, it's important to note Peter understands his words. He simply can't make sense of the conquering Messiah suffering and dying. It's like Mickey Mouse and Knoebels. It's like Star Wars and Neverland. It's not like peanut butter and jelly or Cinderella and Prince Charming. So Peter, amidst his confusion, begins to rebuke Jesus for having such a fatalistic mindset. So without even knowing it, Peter is speaking for Satan. We have to think, how many times do we possibly do the same? We tear down instead of building up. We accuse before knowing the whole story. So like Jesus' adversary himself, Peter is not setting his mind on the things of God, nor is he setting them in his ways, in his plans, or his purpose. Instead, his mind is set on the things of man, the things of the world, and its earthly values. So what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples is that the way of the cross is God's will, his plan of redemption for all mankind. Now we can imagine Peter's reaction was the same as others. Yet as always, Peter is the first to speak up. In reality, Peter actually thinks that he is protecting Jesus. In many ways, we're not any different. We think we know what's best, especially at times for our children, but we don't always consult God first in prayer, and we end up causing more harm than good. Let me take you back to my youth pastor days, and I'll never forget a youth who had a passion for missions. She was a senior, and she wanted to take a year after high school to serve in Australia through YWAM. Her parents insisted that she go to college. You don't want to miss this opportunity. And they were concerned for her safety. But friends, that youth did as we should do, and she stood up for her Jesus. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was there as she spoke to her parents, and she said, "Mom and Dad, I love you. Mom and Dad, I respect you. But I must follow God's call." Would you believe that youth, who was 18 at the time, now has a cafe in the center of Mifflinburg, and it is a mission point. She served God. She was willing to follow his call, and now she is blessing others with that call in a cafe, making baked goods, making wonderful gluten-free cupcakes. If you're ever in Mifflinburg, check it out. So remember, in the wilderness, Satan purposely tempted Jesus to divert him from the cross, to keep him from fulfilling the will of the Father. And innocently enough, Peter was doing the same thing. He did not grasp the true messianic purpose of Jesus. In some way, he turns from God and turns to man's perspective. Jesus goes on and he says, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Friends, there is a profound message here for us. We can easily see Peter had the wrong perspective of God's plan for Christ's suffering and death. But we must also see how easily we too can become an unwitting spokesperson for Satan. It happens when we lose sight of God's plans. It happens when the focus is on our jobs. The focus is on our possessions. The focus is on our security, on the things of the world, rather than the sacrifice, service, and the spreading of Jesus' good news. Take note, when Peter's focus shifted to his own desires and plans, it's then that Jesus rebukes him to get him back on track. Friends, may our focus always be on God and his plans. We could say this morning, Peter did not have his mind on the divine. Peter was thinking in the moment. It's a rather scary place to be, because in that moment, we make split-second decisions. We don't have time to think. It's when we'll probably make the most mistakes. So Peter hears Jesus' words, and they get the best of him. He's thinking, how can this possibly be? The Messiah cannot suffer. Not like this. He cannot die. He's a conquering king. Peter knew, yet he didn't know. There's times we're not any different. Things don't make sense in our lives. Why now? Why tragedy? Why pain? Why death? But friends, having the mind of Christ means sharing the plan, the purpose, and the perspective of Christ. And it's something that all believers can have. We don't need to complicate this. We don't need to make it any more difficult than it is. It simply means we understand God's plan in the world to bring glory to himself, to restore creation to its original splendor, and provide salvation for sinners. It simply means we identify with Christ's purpose to seek and to save the lost. It means that we share Jesus' perspective of humility, of obedience, of compassion, and of prayerful dependence on God. Friends, you see, in order to have the mind of Christ, we first must have that saving faith, and then we live a life under the character of God. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us, that gives us wisdom, that leads us to the mind of Christ. Our job as believers is to simply surrender, to yield to the Spirit. And friends, guess what? The result is incredible. Transformation, renewing of the mind. And Jesus concludes in our passage from Mark 8 by calling the crowd with his disciples. And he says this to them, and he says it to us this morning. If any want to become followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed Let's keep this easy to understand. Dying to self is part of being born again. The old self dies. The new self comes to life. Not only are we born again when we come to salvation, but we continually die to self as part of the process of sanctification. It's just another way of saying becoming holy or set apart. So friends, as such, dying to self is both a one-time event and it's a lifelong process. There was this young man who was at the end of his rope. And seeing no way out, he drops to his knees in prayer and he says, "Lord, I cannot go on. I have too heavy a cross to bear." The Lord replied, "My son, if you can't bear its weight, just place your cross inside this room. Then open that other door and pick out any cross you wish." The man was filled with relief and said, "Thank you, Lord." And he did as he was told. Upon entering the other room, he saw many crosses, some so large the tops were not even visible. And then he spotted a tiny cross leaning against the far wall. And he whispered, "Lord, I'd like that one." And the Lord replied, "My son, that is the cross that you just brought in." Friends, when life's problems seem overwhelming, it helps to look around and see too what others are dealing with. And soon enough, we begin to realize we don't suffer alone. You got to know, this wasn't the first time Jesus speaks to his disciples about taking up their cross. Remember that the cross was an instrument of death. He makes it clear that if any would follow him, they must deny themselves. It means giving up their lives spiritually, symbolically, and even physically if necessary. He goes on saying that to save our earthly lives would result in losing our kingdom lives. But then says those who would give up their lives for his sake would find eternal life. Jesus went as far to say that those who are unwilling to sacrifice their lives for him cannot be his disciples. Friends, these indeed are difficult teachings, but they do affirm the brethren view of believers' baptism. Having been immersed in water, symbolizing death, and being buried with Christ, and then coming up out of the water, symbolizing Christ's resurrection. Paul defines it as being crucified with Christ. Now he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. It simply means the things of the old life are put to death, especially the sinful ways and the lifestyles that we once engaged in. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Friends, where we once pursued selfish pleasures, we now pursue with equal and greater passion that which pleases God. We have to realize Scripture never says this is something optional in the Christian life. It's the reality of the new birth, and it's a joy. I close this morning with this point David Robertson makes. Why would we swap the fullness of Jesus Christ for the emptiness of a universe and a life without God? There's nothing, my friends, more beautiful, nothing more fulfilling than following Christ our Lord. May we always have our mind on the divine. Please rise if you're able for our closing hymn.
as we leave this morning, may we recognize that denying self is not a negative thing. Denying self is the opportunity to show Jesus that indeed we're willing to surrender. We're willing to let go. We're saying to Jesus, we trust you. We believe in you. We have faith, knowing that your will is far more pleasing than any plan we could possibly have. So deny yourself this week and allow God to fill your life with his plans. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.